Good morning and welcome to Agriculture Live. My name's Rebecca Shields. I'm one of the directors at Agricultural Recruitment Specialists. Now, you don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss this. It's a great episode. It's first one of our election specials, and we're looking at the election policies for agriculture and farming. If you've got any questions or comments for Dan, please post them in the comments section and we'll come to them when we can. So over to you, Dan. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Rebecca. So, I'm Dan Boatwright-Green and I'm the Liberal Democrat candidate for West Worcestershire, which is a very large constituency covering Pershore, Breedon and the surrounding areas, across to Upton, then all of the countryside along the south of Worcestershire, up through Malvern, and then up to Tenbury as well. So it's a huge rural area, which I have to say I absolutely love. I'm very lucky to live in the Pershore area of it. I'm a former teacher and I now work in politics. I'm a district and county councillor for Pershore, and I also help with my local parties as well. My background's actually originally in archaeology and geology, and I then moved into teaching, and I taught geography and geology, but also A-level archaeology and environmental science. So I've got a reasonably good understanding of kind of rural communities and rural matters. And originally, I'm actually from a military family. So my dad was in the army, so I was brought up in Germany. My brother was in the army as well. My husband was in the RAF. My brother-in-law is still in the army. And so I've got a very good understanding of kind of community service and kind of what's happening in that area. Moved to Pershore many years ago now. Absolutely love it. You're not getting me out of this town anytime soon. We've got three dogs. Love the countryside. And yeah, I can actually see the lovely outdoors from where I'm sitting now.
Oh, lovely. So, Dan, tell us, how did you get into politics and why?
So basically, I'm in politics because I want to get things done. As a Liberal Democrat, I'm very community focused. I'm very practically minded. I don't really enjoy when people tell me that there are barriers in place. We can't do that because my immediate reaction is to find a way over, under or around it. I'm not interested in why that barrier is there. If a community wants something, and we should really be aiming to do it. And that's a very Liberal Democrat approach to things. I actually went to university in Liverpool, and it's a very, very politically active city. At the time, it was a Liberal Democrat council, and their creativity and logic was what kind of really kind of brought the city to life. I never got massively involved in politics at the time. I very much kind of stood back. I am from quite a working class family, so I did have to pay the bills. So I was working a lot as well as being at university, so I couldn't really volunteer as much as I wanted to. But then when the Lib Dems lost control of the council in 2010, I've seen kind of the city really fall apart. And it's something that's always kind of really disappointed me, because actually it was going in the right direction. Some fantastic things were being done. And I'm sort of didn't really find myself looking at politics very much. If I'm honest, I was kind of very focused on, you know, trying to save up for a mortgage, trying to make sure that, you know, I had a relatively stable kind of job. And then in 2018, after Brexit and the shenanigans started in the Conservative Party, actually, to be fair, I should probably just say Boris Johnson got me into politics, if I'm honest. I just was not impressed with the way he did things. And I wanted something that was a bit more, you know, reasonable and measured and not for effect. And so I've always been a Liberal Democrat in some way, shape or form. Except during the coalition, I'll be the first to admit, I had a bit of a small blip and I may have been slightly objectionable to my party. But we had some wonderful local councillors in the area and I wanted to support them. They convinced me to run in 2019 to be a district councillor. Pershore has three seats when you go up for election, and I thought I'd come a reasonable fourth because we had a very well-known Conservative councillor at the time. Turns out hard work pays off and I actually won by 150 votes. And then I got more and more involved, really enjoyed it. And then in 2021, became a county councillor. Getting me to run to be a parliamentary candidate, I think, was a bit more of a push. I did get the working class imposter syndrome quite heavily at that point. And I was like, no, people like me don't do this. But I had some fantastic people who supported me and really helped me gain my confidence and also show me that I do have the skills and the abilities to do this. Having a couple of disabilities as well, I was a little bit kind of concerned about the ways in which that was going to impact on me. Turns out, actually, the last 18 months haven't been selected. It was definitely just imposter syndrome. And actually, I've been able to really get to know kind of how to do this properly. And yeah, and now I'm running to be a member of parliament.
Well, congratulations for that, Dan. So tell us about what changes your party would make regarding to, you know, the agricultural and farming issues that we've got.
So I'm really proud of what the Liberal Democrats have come up with. We are a party that we don't just put together a policy behind closed doors. If anyone saw our conference in September, we thrash it out. It's one of those ones where there will be a policy debate. Everyone's free to talk. There will be amendments, plenty of amendments. There will probably be at least two procedural arguments during it. And it's one of those things that we really need to make sure that we get things right. So the Liberal Democrat approach is very much about bringing the agricultural section kind of our manifesto into a farming and food policy. This idea being that growing food and training people to grow food and what we eat are all linked. And so the end user is just as important as those growing the food. And we need to make sure that that runs through our entire strategy. But a joined up thinking, I think, is what they call it. And so basically, the immediate three key points that I've been told I have to say, no matter what, is to raise the farming budget by £1 billion to support domestic food production, fix workplace shortages and let farmers, fishers and food processing recruit the workers they need, and to reopen and fix the botched trade deals and ensure food standards are not undercut. But the one thing I always kind of take from all of this is that the key message from us is everyone deserves good quality fresh food, homegrown and fairly priced. No one should experience food poverty, and too much of our food is coming from abroad. And so our plan is about making sure that you can get access to the food you need and also working with producers to promote healthy food. We are very aware that obviously we do need to factor in net zero policies. We need to move towards sustainable practices. I have to say, though, a lot of the farmers I know are already moving this way and are doing fantastic work. But we do need to support them, and we do need to have a government that's making sure that they actually do have a way to diversify what they're doing. We do need to get a bit creative. Funding and the schemes that we currently have are confusing. I have a friend who I sat down with recently. I can honestly say, trying to work out what the sustainable farming incentive actually did do by the end of it, I think both of us had a headache, and we definitely wanted a glass of wine by the end. And we need to make things clearer for people. We need to make sure these actual schemes work, that they're practical, and that farmers can access them. Because I have to say, I know a few who've just basically given up. Mm-hmm. And I think the last thing I want to kind of get across is that I don't remember ever being talked to at school about farming as an industry, as an option. Whenever you kind of had like those careers tests and things, it always tried to send me to things like sports management, which I was just because I was sporty did not mean I necessarily wanted to go and then work in it. And talking to young people now, they're saying the same. It's not something that's discussed in schools. And I think that's something we really need to think about, a long-term strategy where we actually, in education, talk about careers where we actually really need them to go into.
I think that's a big thing. You know, I harp on about it. You know, we don't have education in terms of the farming sector in schools. So it's just not an option for people that aren't from that background or have farming families. So it's really important. But, you know, it's not just about talking about it. We need something in place, Dan.
Absolutely. And I think as a teacher, one of the things I always found quite interesting is that the number of young people who want to become forensic scientists. And don't get me wrong, rural crime is an issue, and I'm never going to turn around and say that we do not need to focus on crime. But I can say, as someone with a background in archaeology, which is basically forensic science for ancient things, is that we don't need that many people to be able to do a CSI style investigation.
Yeah.
And actually, what we should be doing is those people who are more practically minded, because a lot of those young people, that's why they really want to do things about this.
It's not everyone's academic, Dan, are they?
No, not at all. And I have to say, you know, my brother's a mechanic. My other brother works in a lumber yard, loves the job. I can imagine why he gets a forklift. He loves it. my sister works for a DIY store. You know, I'm the only one who's actually gone in a more academic route. And they love their jobs, and it's great that they do. So I think we do need to get a little bit more open-minded when we're talking to young people about professions, because there are amazing jobs out there and you don't need a degree for them. You can just go in, you can train on the job. Sometimes you might want to get a degree as you go through it. That's absolutely fine, but you don't have to. And I think that's the key aspect to this. And farming, yeah, I do think gets let down a little bit by the education system.
Absolutely. So how are you guys unique in terms of really pushing for farmers and agriculture compared to the other parties?
So the fact that we're integrating how we eat and buy our food all the way through to kind of growing crops. So basically going from that very start all the way through to our end use, I think is what makes us very different from the other parties. We are a party that very much sits there and looks about kind of how can we join everything up and how can we actually really make sure that every policy we put in place works for everyone. So we don't just look at an industry on its own. We look at how it can impact upon the society we live in, how it impacts upon getting to carbon neutral, how it impacts on our mental health and our health services. And one of the things I really love about our policies, and I'm really proud of this one actually, is that actually we've sat there, we've spoken to farmers, we've spoken to health professionals, we've spoken to people who then sell our food who actually produce our food. And it all kind of is designed to help society and provide a fair deal for all. And that's something that I will always advocate in any policy, but particularly when it comes to what we eat.
I think that we struggle as a sector because we don't make up like loads of the GDP.
Yeah. And it's really strange because you'd think, you know, bearing in mind, you know, I will eat at least three times a day. That's a lie. I will eat at least seven times a day. That actually it's something that we would have in the back of our minds. Where has this food come from? Who's producing it? How far has it traveled? And also, you know, who is the person behind that food? And I think it's really disappointing sometimes that we always go back to that GDP point. But actually, these are real people growing our food. And without it, there'll be no GDP at all. Because if you haven't got the food, you're not going to be doing anything else.
So you've got all your priorities in the Lib Dems. Where does agriculture and farming sit in that list of priorities for the people watching?
So I would say that it's we've got Tim Farron as an MP and Sarah Dyke as an MP. And if you haven't met them, I can tell you now they're both forces of nature. And there is not a chance that the farming community and agriculture will not be championed by them. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with Sarah Dyke where it's not been about farming or rural life. It's literally, those are all the things we only talk about. And, you know, I always point out to people, we are a party that's championing agriculture because we genuinely believe in it. We really have a really strong association with it. And just like, I was looking up earlier, because Sarah Dyke's amazing when it comes to talking about farming. And she went to Harper Adams University. She, you know, it's a specialist in food production. A former NFU deputy president recently joined the Lib Dems. The room was full at conference when the NFU held their reception. I could barely move. I got in there quite early because I'm not going to lie, I wanted to go and talk to some people. And I genuinely couldn't move. It was absolutely brilliant to see it. But it's also people like myself who are now coming through the party as well. I live in a rural constituency. I'm a total agritech geek. I'll be the first to admit, the second someone starts telling me about new innovations in farming, I'm there. Yeah. And so it's an exciting time for the Liberal Democrats when we're talking about rural life. We are traditionally the opposition to the Conservatives in rural areas. And we're really showing that we are a real alternative. And I'm really proud of that.
Oh, good for you, Dan. So obviously mental health is a big issue at the moment in farming. What are your plans as a party in terms of dealing with this?
Oh, do you know, I knew this is going to be the hardest question for me to answer. And it's not because I don't have an answer. It's something that I feel very strongly about. And also having ADHD myself, actually, I do emotionally dysregulate quite easily. But it's something I get really upset about in general, just how poorly mental health is still treated in this country. And back in February, many Liberal Democrats, we got involved in the Mind Your Head campaign, which I have to say was really gut-wrenching. And again, back to our MP, Sarah Dyke, she had loads of resources that her team produced. And we got lots of programmes going. And although it was just 1 week, I think it made us realise it's something we really need to integrate into everything we do, especially in real life, where we can be quite isolated and we don't necessarily see each other every day or can't easily communicate. And in my area, can't always send a text message to each other because we still need a mast. And so this is one of those ones where, you know, we got quite heavily involved in the big farming tea break, made many of us realise actually in farming villages that there is a bit of a disconnect between our residents and our farmers. And I'm really lucky where I live. My parish council has one of our local farmers on it. I always kind of joke with him about, oh, I've just had a complaint from another resident about your tractors going through the village at 20 miles an hour, not at the 30 limit. And he's great. And I don't think you mind me kind of mentioning just, you know, we're really lucky we've got that connection in the village. And when there are issues, we can work together. But also there's a really good community spirit. And so as Liberal Democrats, we're all about making sure we promote that and also fund projects that enable people to get involved with their farming communities as well. And a lot of villages do this, but actually the small towns, they've got that opportunity, especially with their fairs and their fetes, to actually kind of help them do that. And that interaction and that community cohesion is something that as Liberal Democrats, we're really keen to make sure we promote, and getting farmers involved as well. And I have to say, some of our farmers here are brilliant at doing that, because of course, young people can then go and meet the sheep and the lambs. And again, we can hopefully then get them kind of onto the farms and kind of not only just improving the kind of the interactions with each other, improving that mental health, improving that community cohesion, but also then potentially getting people into the industry. On a more serious note, though, on a very specific note, also need to make sure that mental health advisors, that counsellors, we need to fund this properly. And it's not just for farming, but also it is for just the population at wide. We need to treat our mental health as physical health in the same way. And we do that in the Liberal Democrats. And I'm very proud of that. We need to fund counselling programmes. We need to promote initiatives where people talk about their feelings, especially men. We are particularly bad at it. Well, I'm not. I'm probably a little bit of an oversharer. But actually, we really do need to make that the norm, because we need to make sure that our farming community are, you know, in a position where they can get the help they need, and they should never feel like they're a burden. And I think this is the one that really struck me back in February when we were doing this. Oh, I don't want to be a burden. And my immediate reaction was, first of all, you're not going to be a burden because I want to talk to you. Second of all, I actually enjoy talking to you. And third of all, I want to provide that support. And that's how most of us feel when we talk to any human being. I just feel like sometimes getting that across to blokes in particular can be a bit of a challenge, and there are too many suicides in the farming community, and we need to get to grips with it. I hope that answered the question. It's one of those ones where I'm always like, and another thing.
So as a party, do you back the Buy British stance?
Absolutely. And I have to say, I was a bit struggling to say anything beyond that one, but so I'm one of those people, I check every label. I'm absolutely kind of terrible for it. But I'm also, it's not just Buy British, it's for me, it's also Buy Worcestershire. And, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that just down the road from where I am now, we've got tomatoes grown in Fladbury. We've got apples kind of down in Martley that I always buy. I don't buy plums. I don't need to, because I've got like 4 plum trees in my garden. So I can honestly say, if anyone needs any plums, let me know. But I'm always a big advocate of buying as local as you can. And actually, my husband's just set up a wine bar in Pershaw. And this was the one thing we were desperate to start doing. We actually found it quite a challenge. It was a real struggle initially. And actually, at this end is something that as Lib Dems, we're really keen to promote, is making sure that we can get that interaction between kind of farmers and growers and those who then are providing food at the tourism and leisure end and the hospitality end, because we're okay now. It took us a good month though to start finding particular people who would be able to provide the kind of food we wanted. I have to say, there's some fantastic cider and lager producers in this area, so that was a particularly easy one for us. But yeah, getting that food into our shops, into our restaurants as well, is really important.
Fantastic. So what about apprenticeships in farming?
So I think a lot of people find this a bit strange, but I went and did a degree. I was very lucky. I went and did that. I'm not entirely sure if I'd go and do it again, if I'm honest. I think if I had my time again, I think there are other routes I probably would have taken. And I'm sitting here, you know, I was really lucky. I did a master's. I was funded to PhD level, and I had a fantastic time at university. But I think if I had my time again, I do wonder if I would have done it that way. Apprenticeships for me are something that are fundamental to how we revolutionize our education system. And at the moment, they're too complicated, and they just don't work properly. And I was actually at Pershore College a couple of weeks ago talking to lecturers there. And we actually need to support not just actually producing and creating the apprenticeships, but we live in a rural area and we need to get people to the colleges. We need to get them to where they're going to be doing their placements. And we're just about to take an apprentice on actually in our own business. And it's been a minefield, trying to fill in the forms, trying to get everything sorted. So absolutely 100% we support it. We need to make sure that the system works properly. We need to remove some of this bureaucracy, because frankly, some of the layers of it were completely unnecessary. I love a good form, but come on, this is, you know, a bit silly. And we need to be able to help people get to the right places, either with public transport or providing transport options, so they can actually go and do their placements. It's a big ask, but it's achievable and we can do it. And by doing all of this, we'll get people into these industries and we will support them fully.
So every other country has got a food target. Why doesn't the UK have one, and could you bring one in?
So this is always like talking to teachers about targets is always an interesting one. So setting targets are great, but then you have to meet it. Yeah. And I sometimes wonder the degree to which this approach is helpful. So I'm not against it. But I've always said I'm very pragmatic. I'm just not dogmatic. So show me it works and I'm 100% on board. And I think this is the one I always say to people, is this is one of those where I'm not against the idea. I'm not against the concept, but I really want to see your data. And I want to see that it works. And if you can show me it, I will be on board.
I think some of the guys I've spoke to in the farming community, they just like to know how they're performing and, you know, where we're up to. And that's the reason behind it.
And I totally get that. And I do see that one. And I've just said it's one of those. I managed to find two completely different documents when I was researching this. One saying that absolutely fantastic, it completely works. And then another one that was basically ripping it apart. And I just sat there and went, here we go. So it's one of those. I think if it's done right, I think it actually, as you said, it can show people where we are. But I think it might need to be a soft touch target where we say, right, this is what we're aiming for. This is our aspiration. And then we set objectives and we set policies that then bring us to it. Because otherwise,
I think that'd get more policies, you know, happening. Yeah. Because we're heading towards something.
Yes. And I think that will work. I think the problem is in politics, what tends to happen is people set these targets. They set them as fixed, kind of like quite hard targets. They then don't meet them and everyone says it's a failure. And for me, what I'd want to do is say, look, this is what we're aspiring to get to. It's going to take 10, 15, 20 years, a few parliaments, and therefore let's really push and go for it. And I think what really disappoints me is that in politics, what tends to happen, and it happens on all sides, is people will then start to go, oh, you didn't meet that target. And it starts to fall away. So I think possibly what we need to do is find a way where the industry works with politicians, sets a target together, and then drives that forward, both with policy and industry. And I think that would be a way which is far more practical. And then we all have buy-in and then it would work. I just don't, if I'm honest, I don't like giving the politicians too much power, if I'm honest. And so I do sometimes think the industry needs to be the one who has control over it. And then, you know, you can beat us politicians with a big stick when we're not providing the support that you need.
Right. Big question, right? Historically, farmers have voted Tory. Why should the agricultural industry vote for the Lib Dems?
See, my immediate reaction to this one is, do they? Do they? The reason I say this is actually I do have quite a few members who are farmers, and they've been members for a very long time, actually in some cases far longer than I have. A lot of the conversations I have with people is maybe traditionally they have voted more conservative, But in rural areas, it's traditionally been a bit of a battle between the Lib Dems and the Liberals before and the Conservatives. And at the moment, I've got to be honest, I have been very, well, not actually, I haven't been very surprised. I've been a little bit surprised, but I've been more humbled by the support I've been getting from a lot of my local farmers. They've been really unimpressed by the way the Conservative government has handled Brexit, how they've put in barriers to trade, the chaos caused by the new subsidies. I have to say, I've had many a rant about the New Zealand trade deal. It's something that I am, you know, in New Zealand, they are genuinely shocked that we signed that as a country. They really are shocked by it. And you just need to look at the standards, the different standards between kind of lamb production in New Zealand compared to us. And then, of course, you've got 10-pound kind of lamb legs in Iceland that are from New Zealand. And it's something that I find really frustrating. And actually, it turns out that so do farmers. And so the Liberal Democrats have always been a party that's very details orientated. And that means, as a result, when we're speaking to farmers about our solutions, they tend to be quite pro what we're saying. But I do need to massively thank Tim Farron for his hard work on this, because he has been committed to agriculture and making sure that it's, you know, it's better in the UK and making sure that we promote UK farming. And so I think farmers are beginning to see that they do have a home in the Liberal Democrats. And I hope that that's something we can continue to push. I know I will be pushing regardless of what happens at the general, and will continue to push after this, because I am still an elected representative and I will continue to do that for as long as, well, actually probably beyond when I'm in politics as well, if I'm honest. It's something I will always promote.
Thanks, Dan. So a big question, another one. How will you make the industry more profitable for farmers? That's what they want to know.
I jokingly said, and I actually stand by it actually now, it was one of those you say in jest, and I just went, get out of the way. I think politicians, genuinely, we need to listen, we need to work with farmers, and we need to kind of help and not hinder. And I think one of the big problems with politicians is they go into, especially ones who become ministers, they go into their ministry and they want to make the big impact. And I always make the comment about Chris Grayling with prisons. What he did with prisons in 18 months was an absolute disaster. And I've said that when you talk to a lot of politicians, they genuinely want to do good a lot of the time, but sometimes they can get a little bit blinkered by the fact that they're actually in this position and they want to make a name for themselves. And I've said that actually the NFU have put together a fantastic manifesto for this election. And it was really fun sitting down with a group of farmers and someone from the NFU a few months ago. And I was handed it and I just went, that's in ours, that's in ours. Yeah, we've got that one. Oh, that's an interesting one. I'll take that one back. And I went through it and I just went, yeah, actually, it's from a political point of view, we need to be we are the supporting character in this. We are the ones who should be, you know, helping enact policies that the farming community want to see, making sure that it's fair and balanced, and sometimes getting out of the way. I stand by it.
Okay. So, you know, how will you grow the industry then?
Training and skills and getting educators to understand that. Sorry, I've jumped in there, didn't I? I was like, I'm ready for this. We need to make sure education is balanced. At the moment, it's so focused on academics. It's so focused on A-levels. We do not tell people about different careers. I know primary schools who do some fantastic work with their young people, where they're kind of like growing in their community gardens and they're getting young people in touch with nature and kind of growing their own food, which again improves their mental health because they're outside, they're doing something practical. It's something I vaguely remember doing at primary school. And then I remember it sort of disappeared in secondary. In secondary, it was all right, we're going to sit in a class, we're all facing forward, we're all looking that way, we're all going to learn this. And that's where I started to become quite disruptive. And this is one of those that actually, if you look at education systems where they provide a more balanced skill kind of development, they actually find that a lot more young people engage with more practical subjects, where they engage with more practical professions, and they start to want to be more involved in these. I have to say, I never saw in any kind of careers-based kind of careers day or any sort of careers presentation in the entire time I was in education, either as a student or as a teacher, I never saw anything about farming. And it's something that if I ever go back into education again, the first thing I will do is drag the NFU into a careers day to make sure they're there. And I think that's something that we do need to get into the habit of doing. We also need to make sure apprenticeships are developed properly. We also need to make sure that young people have the opportunities to access those apprenticeships. We need to sort out the transport so they can get there. We need to make sure that the people who are training, well, actually, we need to make sure there are more people training, because a lot of colleges at the moment are struggling to find people willing to actually run the apprenticeship programs. And we also need to get that kind of community cohesion kind of aspect to this as well. So actually throughout your development as a young person, you're actually getting those opportunities to go and visit farms and to meet farmers and to see what happens. And if you're anything like me, you get to then go and ride on a tractor at some point, because that's actually quite good fun.
Absolutely. So a major issue in the UK, you know, let's make no bones about it, is the aging farming population. You know, we need new entrants into agriculture. How could you support that?
It really does come back to schools. We really need to make sure that people actually know that it's a career that's available. It's also we do have a bit of a situation, and it has been a big problem in Worcestershire, where you know, you do need land to kind of be a farmer. And obviously some people are coming to the end of their kind of farming careers, and it's usually quite family orientated. And, you know, rightly so, not everyone wants to go into kind of the family business. And actually trying to kind of promote the idea of new people coming into farming and how that might kind of operate, whether it's through financing schemes that enables people to buy a farm, or whether it's some sort of different type of ownership, whether we kind of move towards more of a kind of community ownership of farming. We need to try and think about how we actually move that transition forward, because there is a transaction involved at some point. And I do actually know someone who said she would love to run a farm. She would love to do it. She said, but it's that financing side of it that's always put her off. And so one thing that the government can do is actually provide that support for people who are looking to go into farming. How can we help them set up a business? How can we actually promote kind of going into getting the right skills? Because I think she'd have most of the skills, but I'm not entirely sure she would know how to buy a tractor. Sorry to talk about tractors again, but big fan. And actually kind of give people those kind of career options. Because actually, the more I think about it, the more I kind of think that there's actually quite a lot of people out there who I think would quite like the idea of running an orchard, or who would actually like to get into food production. But I don't think they'd necessarily know how to. So definitely get them early so we can get them kind of trained up. But also find kind of where we have people who are kind of slightly later entering, probably more around my age, giving them the options on how they can then finance that and actually help and support them do that.
Absolutely. In places like the Netherlands, they, you know, make a big deal of their farming industry. You know, they're proud of their farmers. It seems quite an attractive industry to go into. How could your party make the industry more attractive to job seekers?
I always say it's all about marketing, isn't it? And it's something that I always kind of make the point, is that some job areas, I genuinely think to, kind of TV has made them look far more exciting than they are. And I used to
joke, back to CSI now.
It is back to CSI. It totally is. And I think it's one of the big problems is that if you go and talk to anyone who works in forensic science, they will tell you it's pretty menial. And some of the things they have to do are incredibly dull. Yet you watch CSI and it looks so exciting. I'm not suggesting we need a CSI version for farming, but I think actually kind of giving people that kind of opportunity to get involved is the way forward. And actually I was in, I think it's Henley Swan, actually, if I remember right, and it was lambing season. And it's really fun because one of the farms is right in the village. So you can see all the kids going over to kind of see what's happening. And then, of course, all the adults are going over to see what's happening. I'm not going to lie, I went over to see what's happening. It's really exciting. You're engaging with your farming community, and actually having your farmers in your community makes it a lot more kind of accessible. And I recently went on it was actually a bit of an excursion with a group of councillors who were from all over the country. I think I was the only Liberal Democrat that was from a rural area, which is very rare. It just happened to be this kind of session. And funnily enough, they said the week before they'd gone out into this farm and everyone in the rural community. So they were all over it, absolutely loving it. And then, of course, I was the only one kind of like fully in there. You know, I was kitted up. I was going for it. I was having a great time mucking out. I was enjoying myself. All the others were like, oh, this is, I'm not used to this. And I have said that most people do live in urban areas. So we do need to make sure that people in urban areas have the opportunity to get into our rural landscapes and actually experience what it's like. Because by the end of it, several of them were like, do you know what? Actually, if I had my time again, I think I'd actually really like doing this as a job. And it's always, you could see a couple of them actually a bit disappointed. It was like almost like, actually, I really have loved this.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what a great discussion, Dan. It was so good to have your input today. You know, you've given the industry a better idea of where the Lib Dems stand on all of these farming issues, which is great. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And thank you again, Dan. It's been great. So keep following us. We've got some great new discussions coming up. We've got Labour and the Conservatives in the next few weeks. If you've got an interesting topic in agriculture that you'd like to talk about, please get in touch with me at www.agrirs.com. Thank you so much for joining us and goodbye.